help me, that would be nice. Let's see here. Gogong. Sir? Thank you. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. For all of you that have been reasonably awake and alive, which is not very many in the last month, especially the alive part, I've been dealing with the subject of marriage. I don't know when I started, and I don't know how many I've spoken on, but I'm going to spoke tonight. Yes, we're done. Let's go home. The offering is taken. Let's go home. I'm going to speak tonight on a small little issue. It's a small issue, but not really so small. I came across this issue for the first time when I was in the barracks. Now, it wasn't a husband and wife, but I had to live with a roommate for about 3 months that was the most bizarre individual I have ever been around. He wasn't evil. He was bizarre. How long does it take? By the way, for some of you, you never shave. But for a guy like me, I do have to shave. How long does it take me to shave? I don't know. I put soap on my face twice. I'm a very routine person. Soap on the face twice, put the stuff on there, and I'm done. This guy walked into the head. That's Greek for something else. Walked into the head. He set out all his equipment in exactly the proper place. I mean, he had a washcloth that was wet. He had one that was dry. This was to shave. He put the stuff on his face. No joke. He took a small swab. He took the wet one, the wet washcloth, washed off his face, then took the dry one and dried it off, and then he did the second swab. And I'm thinking, if this guy ever got married, his wife murdered him the first week. He could take a half an hour, 45 minute shaving because all his little duckies had to be in the right ducky order. I just say this, all you need to do is go to the Philippines one time. You go into a restroom in the Philippines, bang, bang. And the first thing a white guy does, by the way, if you're Filipino, you only have to shave once every 3 months, okay? But if you're a white guy, you got to shave every day if you're speaking in public. And you walk into the bathroom, and the first thing you do is you turn on the faucet and no water comes out. And then you see the ubiquitous bucket. I hate those things. Timba atabo. I hate those things. And I see it. Anytime there's water in it, you know you got a problem. Because then you know you're going to have to take a shower with that bucket and dipper. And you're going to have to shave. Now, hold on. In the Philippines, in the best hotel I have been in the Philippines, and it's an unbelievably nice one, the bathrooms are still dark. So it's still like shaving in the dark. Most of them have a mirror. Pandak-dak-dak height. So here you are in the dark. It'll break you of all your OCD habits really quickly. Well, tonight, we're just going to look at one verse. By the way, you know this passage, don't you? Look at verse 1. I'm not going to read it except verse 1. There's obviously commands to the wife and then to the husband. And this is very specific commands to a wife that has an unsaved spouse. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection or submission to your own husbands, not to men. There are no commandments in the Bible that women submit to men. That's an old lie from hell that's been spread around our circles through the years. No. To your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word or without a word, otherwise without talking, be won by the conversation, the lifestyle of the wives. He fleshes that out. Now verse 7, likewise your husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. Now, if I can say this, the first three portions of this, which are the commands, dwell according to knowledge, giving honor, ladies, could be reversed, meaning you could do that as a wife. The reasoning would be different. Look what the reasoning, why he says this. He says, as unto the weaker vessel. That's the first as unto the weaker vessel. You say, Pastor Warren, what does that mean? And the answer is, I do not know. This is the way I think it, what I think I apply it to mean. If you have a vase, a vase, that's worth $100,000, and you have a crowbar, which one is weaker and which one is stronger? But which one's most important? So I would look at your wife as not being weaker in the sense of muscles, but being maybe more important and more delicate. Therefore, you're going to honor her in a certain way. And you're going to honor her. There's two as's in the text. And as being heirs together of the grace of life. So you treat her as something that is really of value, like a vase or vase, and you treat her as someone that is heir, an heir together with you of the grace of life, for the reason is that your prayers be not hindered. Tonight we're going to look at this subject of TP truth. Now, friend, this is not going to be an exegetical masterpiece. This only has one purpose. So you understand when you leave here, 1 Peter 3, verse 7, you understand what it means to dwell together according to knowledge, giving honor, and how you apply that in the real world as opposed to fantasy. So we're going to talk about funny stuff because life is not lived at church. Life is lived tonight, right? Let's pray and we'll get started. Father, I ask your blessings on this time. May this be a profitable night. I ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. As for TP truth, we'll get to that in a moment. They met in a Bible or a college or a Christian college. It was love at first sight. Ezra, can we have a testimony? He was going to go into the business world and she was earning a degree, an MRS degree. Both were Christians and both wanted to serve the Lord in their respective functions. They came from different areas of the country and both came from pretty good, solid Christian homes. They dated throughout college. They did right, never did anything wrong. At the end of college, when they both graduated, they were married perfectly. About 6 months later, now this is not my story. This story was told me, but it sounds right. About 6 months later, maybe a year later, the wife showed up at the pastor's office. She was, what friend she used this morning, tonight, talking to me, she was agitated. She was visibly upset. Pastor didn't know. So, you know, what's your first comment? What's wrong? Something happened? Somebody die? You, by the way, you never know. You have to understand, folks, I've received some bad phone calls. I was in that office right there talking to Tim Kohak, I believe. Linda, when you called me one morning, I wish you hadn't called me that morning. I wish it hadn't happened when Ade had his stroke. You remember that morning? You don't even remember that morning, do you? It was just bad news. Hey, I was there on the Saturday morning when I got the call from Bambi saying her son was dead. So, you know, you receive some bad phone calls. The pastor didn't know what was wrong, so he says, well, come on in, sit down, what's happening? And the lady said, and this is what is reported to me. The lady's about ready to cry. She's nearly bursting in tears, and she says, Pastor Warren, not Pastor Warren, Pastor whoever it was, my husband puts the toilet paper on backwards. Well, Rhonda, you would think so, but you have to understand, for some people, there is a right way and a wrong way of putting on the toilet paper. Then she went on to say, and I don't know if we're created this way from the foundation of the world, but this is toothpaste. Now, are some people born to do this? You know, when they get their toothpaste, they start doing this. Minutely wind that in. Or are you one of those people you just go, well, I'm going to read what I wrote because this is a true story. By the way, Frenchie, TP stands for toothpaste truth in your notes. So she burst out to the pastor. He said, he puts the toilet paper on backwards. And the pastor's thinking, what? What are you in my office for? And she slurps her milk. Some people can drink without sound. Then there are people that go. You say, that doesn't bother me. No, about the third week of marriage, you're like, what's wrong with you? Why do you slurp everything? Then you have people, I used to think, you know, when people would eat, this is not a slam on anybody, but I always thought Chinese were good with chopsticks. They're not, folks. They take that bowl and stick it right up to their mouth and go, it's like, oh, they're not good with the chopsticks. They're slurping. My mother would have beaten me to death if I'd eaten like that. So, oh my goodness, he's falling apart, she's falling apart. And then, of course, he talks with food, or she talks with food in her mouth when it's open. Have you ever talked to somebody that does that regularly and food sometimes comes out? At the end of the conversation, the lady looked at the pastor and said, Pastor, I don't think we're going to make it. In your notes, I have a very important statement. I'm going to state something before I read the top line. This is an example of what Pastor Warren calls, Frenchie, toilet paper truth. You say, what in the world is toilet paper truth? Well, we must begin with this statement in your notes. All things being equal. Now, please look at me. All things in marriage are not always equal. But I'm talking about even, what does Ezra have? Ezra, I complimented you on your smile this morning, buddy. When you're smiling, it's that big. Does that mean you're happy? You better say yes. By the way, somewhere in between that, in 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years down the road, all things being equal and no sin involved. You do understand sometimes people are married to people who are wicked. That's different than what I'm going to talk about tonight. I'm not discussing you get married and find out your husband is a criminal, okay? Or you find out your husband's a drunk or your wife is this. Or that's a separate issue. But all things being equal and no big sin dominating the picture, we begin with what I'm going to discuss tonight. Look in your notes. This is really profound. Opposites attract. Did you know that? Opposites attract. Now, when I say attract, I'm going to use dada over here and pandak dak dak. They are perfect opposites. You say, in what way? Noel, almost every time I talk to him, cries. And Pachungai has no emotions at all. Opposites attract. Is that correct, dada? Now, where's your wife at? You don't even know. Now, in another case, Tim McGrail is married to an opposite too, but that's a different kind. This kind over here, by the way, is it true that Dada is, he does not express emotions a lot. And Pachungai can be very expressive. Now, all things being equal, is this going to happen in your marriage? Every time. Because there's something about marriage, and you got to learn and dwell according to knowledge, you just tend to be attracted to somebody who's your opposite. Now, we're not discussing Tim McGrail being good and Debbie McGrail being evil. That's a different kind of thing. You understand? I'm glad she's not here, because otherwise she'd be throwing things. In your notes. I start this out by talking about a conversation I had with a divorced man in another locale. I'm going to read what I have written here. I talked with a man once who had divorced his first wife. He said, because we were not compatible. He married again, and it didn't work out either. He said, my second wife and I were just not compatible. He was now with his third wife, and he told me, She's just like my first and second wife. What was he saying? Opposites have a weird way of attracting. Now again, hold it. Ladies, I'll speak to the young ladies. Most of them are gone. For whatever reason, some young ladies are attracted to the bad boy. This is not what Pastor Warren's talking about. If you're attracted to the bad boy, you need to spend time with God because nothing's going to help you. I'm not referring to, and by the way, sadly, there's some guys attracted to that kind of a girl. I'm just talking about, well, we'll get to some of that in a moment. I say in your notes, this is true in the animal world and nature. It seems like opposites attract. When you look at birds, you can generally tell which is the male and the female, but they're opposites. You look at ducks. I grew up on it with a pond. We had a big pond right on our farm, right beside the house. And ducks, when they were flying north and south, would land on that pond. And you could always tell the opposites. They look, everything about them looked differently. In your notes, this is true of marriage and attraction. Oh, I say it's true of magnets. Let me see, Zach, did I give you some magnets recently? Are they pretty powerful? Have you tried to put the... It's true, though, opposites. What happens if you switch that and try to put the same poles? It's hard to push them together, especially those are very powerful. It's true in a lot of areas that opposites attract. It's true of marriage and attraction. In your notes, this is even more true, and I'm not recommending this, of second or third marriages. It's even more true of second or third marriages. The man that I was referring to in a minute ago, please look at me. When he said this also to me. My first wife and my second wife and my third wife, couldn't get along with them. We were incompatible, but they were the same woman. And what am I going to tell this guy? You're attracted to a certain kind of person. And you're always going to be attracted to a certain kind of person, all things being equal. Oh, wait a minute, I forgot to tell you. He told me this, though. I don't know why I'm attracted to these women because they're nothing alike. One was a blonde, one was a redhead, and one was a brunette. We're not talking about color of hair, folks. That's stupid. It's the funniest thing in the world to watch attraction between people. Sometimes you look at somebody and you think, how would they ever get along? There's sweet Marissa. You talk about opposites now. I better leave Melissa alone. Now, Louie, I'm worried about her, but Melissa has a big gun at home. And she will use it, so. Number two in your notes. Where you come to is this. Opposites eventually attack. Eventually, all of those little differences start to drive you nuts. Or at least repel each other. You start pushing each other away. In your notes, I say this. It seems to be almost always true. Though I am not sure exactly how it happens. Does an early bird... are they always attracted to a night owl? You know the question. Ezra, you even know what I'm talking about. An early bird, there are certain personalities, they like to get up early in the morning. You know this person. 5 o'clock in the morning. 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm not a happy camper. I'm always grouchy, but I'm really grouchy in 5 a.m. My daughter. By the way, my wife likes to get up and read the Bible at 5 a.m. Who would ever want to get up at 5 a.m. and read anything? Oh, but at 10 o'clock at night is when I get going. I usually have to try to just say, I got to go to bed by 1 o'clock. Because somewhere between 1 and 1:30, if I stay up too late, then I cannot sleep the rest of the night. Why do early birds marry night owls? Wait a minute. You haven't answered the question. How did I even know she was an early bird? You know, I have asked couple after couple, and it's almost universally true. Why is that? Now, it's not true in Pastor Koch. His wife likes to get up at We won't go any further there. It's just the truth, folks. Why? I don't know. How about this one? Why is it that people who have, I'm just calling it emotion central, when they walk into a room, you know how they're feeling. Why do they always marry cool as a cucumber? Why is that? One person's, man, their emotions, you say they wear their emotions on their sleeve. No, they wear a whole suit of emotions. And the other person had, you know, if they have emotions, nobody knows. Wow. You don't know anybody like that, do you? Now, the next one will really drive people crazy. It is probably the funniest one to me. Color outside the lines. Do you know who? All right, look up here. What's the opposite of color outside the lines? Paint by the numbers. Now, let's put names on this. Now, they're not getting married. Sparky, which one would you be? Why do we don't even need lines, do we? By the way, color outside the lines and Mrs. Hall, Amy said something and it was positive. I talked today about Mrs. Hall just always moving forward, walking, yes? Amy said, more than that, I know where she's at on her breaks. On her time off during the school day, she's either down, in her, she goes to certain places because this lady is always perfect. And then there's Sparky. Now, and I'm not being goofy. Can you imagine, not these two women, but can you imagine two people, one person is color outside the lines. They don't even know there are lines, and the other person, they drew the lines. Do you know there's going to be death someplace? Wait a minute. You're not going to be attracted to a person as chaotic as you if you're color outside the lines. And if you're a person that's real, you're going to be attracted to your opposite, and it's always going to happen. Oh, my goodness. We could take this on for weeks. Spending money. Do I hear a groan? I heard a groan someplace. By the way, the worst thing that could ever happen in your family, this is not in your notes, is I don't know why, but usually one person, they enjoy spending money. They actually think money is to be spent, and the other person thinks money is to be never spent. All right, we better get back to notes. We're going to have a fight up here right here tonight. How about this one? One person is constant noise, meaning talking. I'm speaking in Tagalog. Talking. The other person is absolute silence. Ezra, I love you, Ezra. Listen, I only got a few more months to pick on you two, and then you'll be married, and I won't be able to do it anymore. You know, Ezra, there are some people when they go home at night. Pastor Koch is this way. He walks in the house and he finds his wife and he says, honey, let me tell you about my day. Let me tell you, he starts at 8 o'clock and he just recounts everything he did, right? Not really. By the way, I go home and this is my wife asking me a question. She says, what'd you do today? I don't know. What did I do today? I'm sure I did something. How was your day? Good. By the way, if I have 365 days, 364, we're good. You say, how's the fifth one? Not bad. So Tim goes home, and the first thing he wants to do is share. Isn't that how it is in your family? I'm just curious, no?
Not really.
Oh, my goodness. In your notes. Oh. Folks. Before the foundation of the world, look at me, I don't know why, but there are people that think before the foundation of the world, toilet paper, God ordained that it should come this way. I have some amens. Thank you, brother. Can I have another amen? Do you know there's people that think toilet paper should do this? I got a solution, kill the cats. But anyhow. Folks, now listen, which one are you? Do you have a preference? So which one is it? Which one is it, Rhonda? Because God ordained that, correct?
If it comes the other way, though,
By the way, folks, I went to my mother's house a couple years ago, and I said, Mom, she has two restrooms, and I don't know, something was going on in one. So I said, can I use your restroom in your bedroom? She says, yes. I went in there, and I was doing my, and I wasn't even using toilet paper, and I looked down, and the toilet paper was wrong side. Would you believe I had to change that before I left? In my own mother's house. Rhonda, you do not want to discuss that, because remember, we didn't have a bathroom down the path. It was outside down the path, you understand, not down the hallway. So, no, I didn't learn it there. By the way, I discovered God told me that I could solve this problem. So what I'm going to invent is, instead of having it roll this way, I thought, what if you had it roll this way? But then I immediately knew, yes, somebody would say, this is the wrong way. We got to do it this way. Can I be honest with you? This drives us crazy, doesn't it? If I go into, see, you say the cats can't, I never, see, that's a new one on me. I said never a dog. I was talked into one dog, and that's one and only. When I say never a cat, cats are not coming close to my house. Yep, folks, when you go home tonight, look at me. God himself said, straighten out your toilet paper. Oh, boy. Let's continue, please. Are you all with me? Do you understand what I'm saying? All things being equal, there's a thousand things that drive us crazy. My wife, for the first 20 years of marriage, loved my English. I learned English. Who do you learn English from? Your mother. And my mother's English is horrible. She can butcher English with the best of them. I can still butcher English, not as badly as I did as a kid. You say, why? Because you learn it from your mother naturally. My mother is a country woman, and she's a good woman. She's sweet, but her English is horrific. Listen, if my son comes here next week, he and Amy will sit together, and you know what they'll do the whole, they're not listening to my preaching. They're critiquing my bad English. And then afterwards, John will have to come up and say, Dad, did you hear? And it's like, no, I didn't hear it. Now, where did they learn their English? All of these things tend to cause us to attack each other over time. Some of it's funny. I don't get the toilet paper. I really don't. But I know that, why is it? Who cares? If I go downstairs, I never use the bathroom downstairs. If I went in there and I had to use the one downstairs, if it was in there wrong, Amy, I'd have to change it. That's ridiculous. You say, yeah, it is. Well, how about this? Is anybody in this room when you get your... I was going to do this. I can afford it. When you get your toothpaste, are you the kind of person that just opens the toothpaste and you just kind of, you grab it like this, and you just, yes or no? None of you? Mary, you're that way. I don't. I never run out of toothpaste. I give that to my wife. By the way, I've known couples to get in fights because one couple squeezes it, gets it all over the sink. I hear an amen. Can I get an amen right here? And not only that, wow, this smells good. It is minty. By the way, folks, then I've seen people that literally start by rolling this thing up. Lord help us. Lord help us. Well, we better move on. You say a slurper. Frenchie said, what's a slurper? Frenchie, here's a slurper. And here's my wife. My wife is the exact opposite. If she ever made noise drinking, no one ever heard it. You would have to have a microphone system to hear. I think she swallowed. Me, I just slurp it, man. Take it down. How about this? Do you make noise when you drink and when you eat? Oh, my wife likes it when I make noise. I don't know what the opposite of a slurper is, by the way. What is the opposite of a slurper? What'd you say, Mike? He's the cause of all my problems right there. Okay, we better move on here. Oh, I missed the one, fly by the seat of your pants. A fly by the seat of your pants is the exact opposite of all your ducks in a row. Now, I don't mind if you get all your ducks in a row as long as you're not trying to get me in a row. You say, are you a fly by the seat of your pants? Every Sunday when I come here, I want it to appear like I'm flying by the seat of my pants. Am I? No, I get my ducks more or less in a row. But there are some people who can't begin until every duck in the universe is in a row. Ooh. I won't mention any names in this room, Frenchie, but some people are that way. Let's move on. What other ones do I have here? The constant bottom side up. Let's see. Fly by the seat of your pants. Squeezer. I don't know what the opposite of a squeezer is. I guess the roller. A slurper. I don't know. An extrovert and an introvert. Folks, if you dated 100 times and married 100 times, whatever you are, look at me, whatever you are, you're going to be attracted to the opposite. Could you imagine two people, can you imagine two people seated in a room and neither one of them talk? They both just sit there and one of them finally says, how was your day? And the other one said, fine. How was your day? Fine. Listen, it is so funny. Mrs. Vasilovich was an extrovert. And she would come into my office and tell me about her day. I love Sharon Vasilovich. She's one of my favorite people. I don't want to know about anybody's day. Please don't tell me. I don't want to know. And she, hey, I called the other day to talk to Pete. She answered the phone. She started telling me about her day long distance. It's like, we better hurry on. How about this one? Some people talk it to death as opposed to those who think it to death. Do you know what I'm talking about? You have a problem. What do you do when you have a problem? The worst thing that could ever be said to Ralph Lauren. My wife never says it anymore. She's learned how bad I am. Can we talk about it? Oh, no, we can't talk about it. I do not want to talk about it. That would drive me insane. You say, why? Look at me. I like to think about things. Talk? Oh, no. We have a problem. Let's talk about it. Let's not talk about it. Let's think about it, then come back in one crisp sentence and tell me what you want to do. But you guy, which one are you? I can already hear. You know, every once in a while, there's like thunder. And it's when Dada's been working on their bathroom for 12 years. He still hasn't got it fixed. And I hear Pachungai talking, and she can talk loud. And Dada just smiles. I better move on. I'm going to get in trouble. Some people are emotional and relational. And some people are logical and rational. And if you're in a relationship where, which, by the way, this usually happens to some degree in the same family, if you're the more rational like me and logical, the favorite thing that the opposite likes to hear is, you're being irrational. Oh, good grief. Yeah, they stop talking and they start throwing things usually. Okay, I'm moving on, folks. There's usually one in the family who's a yeller, and one is the poocher. Do you know what I mean by poocher? Now, Pachungai, could you demonstrate pooching to us? She's doing it right now. She's shaking her head, she crosses her arms, and she starts. But by the way, sometimes it's the same person. They yell for a while, then they pooch for a while. Oh, that's fun. How about this one? I'm not even going to discuss this because I already had. Most men are not this. Connected means everything in your life connects. Men tend to be compartmentalized. Now, by the way, that's not everybody. One of the finest couples in this church are 100% the opposite. They're not here tonight. They usually sit right back there. Listen, when Tom and Christy go home, It's not Chrissy that says, let me tell you about my day, it's Tom. Did you know that? Or do you know them well enough to know that? Christy's, if you have a long conversation with Christy, it's three lines. You text her something, it's so cryptic, you're like, I think I need an interpretation of her cryptic. You say, because she is worse than me. She's very compartmentalized and she's very to the point and she doesn't want to chit-chat. She wants to think about it and do it. Tom likes to talk things to death. It's not always men and women. You do. I don't think some of you know Tom and Christy well enough to know that. Try to get a conversation. Listen, Tom is just like his dad. He can talk all day. Tom, like Senior, you can meet this guy any place on earth and he wants to have a conversation. Christy will say, hi. Once in a while, she'll say more when she's yelling, but other than that, not too much. In your notes, what is the problem with this? And this is where we need to get to. First of all, here's the first problem. We start seeing these issues as being only about right or wrong, good or evil, godly or ungodly. And friend, none of these kinds of issues have anything to do with that. Look at me. None of these. We're not talking about sin. We're just talking about we're different. Hey, if you look at your spouse and your spouse is the kind that doesn't walk in the door and say, let me tell you about my day. Let me see. I opened the door. I walked up the steps. I opened the door. I walked in. I sat down. I called Tim. He came over. Oh, I would shoot myself if I had to tell people that. But some people think that's, you must be hiding something. On the other hand, if you're one of those people that like to go home, and it's not always a husband and wife, we'll get to that in a minute. It's usually opposite. And you're the person that likes to talk about your day. Folks, you lived 8 hours at work, and you're going to come home and repeat that for another 8 hours? I'll give you 3 minutes. If everything goes well, 4 minutes. After that, I'm going to shoot myself. All right. So we start seeing these issues as being about right or wrong, good or evil, godly or ungodly, and they are not. And I say, and then the war begins. Next, we tend to think these are male-female differences. And I would say some things are more male-oriented, some are more female, but not always. Men and women are not always the same on these differences. A color outside the line thing is not a woman issue or a man issue. But if you're a color outside the line person, look at me, you better be attracted to somebody who can stay in the lines or you'll self-destruct. But sometimes men are this way. Hey, look at me, we now live in a culture that officially males are all evil. Don't think this Me Too nonsense is about what they're talking about. They've accused people of things and you're just like, now, maybe he was immoral, but doing what you're saying, and why? Because men are evil. Now, we don't play that game in church. I have a quote. I'll give it to you. Solzhenitsyn said, the line between good and evil, most people think it runs like this. Men are bad, women are good. Poor people are good, rich people are evil. He said the line between good and evil doesn't run between people like that. It runs through the human heart of every person. Don't play the little game of Marxism that we have in this country. And we play the game all the time. You say, and by the way, the quote's better than that. It's not about men and women. It's not about rich and poor. It's not about minorities and white. The line between good and evil runs through every person's heart. You have the potential of being evil just like me. We all do. One man, Dr. Gary Oliver, said this, there are few who fight the law of gravity, but many who fight the law of differences. We can't accept it. Next, many people refuse to believe their partners are different. They just will not accept that this is just a legitimate difference. And again, sin apart. We're not talking about sin. But if all this is one person likes to stay up late and one person likes to get up early, that's not a sin issue. Now, it's a weird issue, and I don't know why we're this way. I don't. Frankly, I can get up early. I prefer to stay up late. Somewhere around 8 or 9 o'clock, this is the honest truth, I come alive at 8 or 9 at night. Then I want to go down and do something with Jenny, and she's going some other place at 8 or 9 at night. She prefers to be sleeping, not by 8 or 9, but by 10 or 10:30. 10:30, if I went to bed, I'd be awake for 3 hours. I don't know. That's not good or bad. It just is. Totally. So many people refuse to believe their partners are different. When you don't see your partner as different, the only alternative is to believe they are evil. And then you got a problem. Then you have a problem. So if you look on the front page of your notes, this is just an application of 1 Peter 3. Opposites attract. Opposites eventually attack or at least repel. Number three, opposites once you grow up. Now, Ezra, can I say this to you? You and your lovely girlfriend here. Right now, everything is peachy peachy. And I don't mean by that dessert. Everything is great. Give yourself about 3 or 4 years and all of the 1,000 differences you have will start coming to the front. And look at me, folks. And when you talk to young people, most people get divorced after 3 to 5 years. And they'll say, we are incompatible. Hey, everybody's incompatible. Because almost everybody has polar opposites. This is when you start growing up. This is when the marriage really begins. Before that, you're in love with love. Then you have to say, okay, my wife likes to do this, and I like to do this. What am I going to do about this? What am I going to do about this? Hey, what am I going to do about this? Hold it, with one exception, sin. Now, there are couples, I know in our church, the big issues are sin. And some people, I mean, come on, they have the same attitude towards everybody. I know they're going to have it in a marriage. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. Well, you're going to have problems. But I'm just talking about the normal stuff. Zach over here, are you 23? You're not even 23. Zach's thinking, I ain't ever getting married. It's worth it, Zach. It's good. Trust me, it takes a while to even figure out what the problems are. And I don't know your personality well enough to know, except to say this, you're going to be attracted to your opposite, and sooner or later your opposite is going to irritate you to death. And then somewhere there's a third point where you say, how are we going to put this together and make this work? 1 Peter 3, look in your notes, please. Yes, there's Greek here. I don't expect you to read Greek, but I do expect you to listen. 1 Peter 3:7 says, likewise you husbands, from the Greek word arner, which is male. That's very specifically for men or husbands. Then it uses a word it uses exactly one time in the New Testament. That soon or oikeo, the form of this, is only found here. Dwell, and it's perfectly translated, dwell with them, dwell together, build something together. Please look at me. This is when you begin to have a marriage. When you're having this, Pastor Warren, my husband puts the toilet paper on wrong. What are you going to do? Fight about this for 25 years? And the answer for some people? You're still fighting about, you're like, oh, come on. What are you fighting over that for? Well, Pastor Warren, you know. How about this one? Supper has to be at 6 p.m. Is that written in the Bible someplace? By the way, folks, I'm looking around this room, with the exception of, in our church, with the exception of Ann and Mutia, Pearl, most of us could miss several weeks of meals and not have a problem. What is this thing? Supper! First of all, ladies, if you're married to a guy like that, draw a line. If you ever open your mouth like that again, I'll slug you in Christian love. We better move on. Dwell with them, and notice what else it says. It's a simple statement. According to knowledge, kategnosin, which just means what it means. You have to look at me. Marriage is about learning your spouse. Hey, you come to the place where you start to say, if your wife really prefers this, are you getting married, young man? Are you listening? I haven't got to meet your novia. You have pictures? You better. About 3 years from now, when she has the toilet paper on this way, the wrong way, you're going to have to decide, according to knowledge, how important is this? Real Christians, by the way, I'm going to look at them in a minute. There's three commandish kind of things here. The first thing is, you're going to make a home with this woman. That's a command God gives you. He doesn't really give it directly to the wife. It's your job to make a home. So you're going to have to decide, is it that big of a deal if I do this or if I do this? And what would your answer? What should it be? Your opinion really isn't that important. Yes? Hello? We're not talking about right and wrong, but most people aren't fighting about right and wrong. They're fighting about stupid. Toilet paper, please. He goes on to say, by the way, this is the third command, giving honor. Giving honor. So I'm gonna flesh that out, and then we'll finish this up real quickly. Here is where marriages are decided. Will we grow? Will we grow together or simply drift apart? The commands, they might not be in the form of a command, but they're commands by function, is dwell with them. That Greek word is found exactly once in the New Testament here. The thought is to dwell or live with or to build a home together. So my young Filipino friend over here, you marry this young lady, you have a responsibility to, under God, to dwell with or build together a home with this young lady. And that's with, that's not by yourself, not saying shut up and do what I tell you. And there are people that talk to their spouse like this about dumb stuff. You're going to have to figure out how you can dwell together. Now, the second concept, obviously, is according to knowledge, which means, Ezra, the next 3 to 5 years, frankly, will be your real marriage, because you think you know everything about her. She smells good. She looks good. Yeah, but she has all kinds of issues, and so do you. And part of marriage is learning your spouse. Hello? Is learning what they're about. By the way, we are not discussing sin or rebellion. That has to be dealt with differently than this passage. This passage is just talking about coming to know people. Okay? So, Peter says, do this according to knowledge. Things like this. You ought to have a knowledge of God's purposes, the principles for marriage, of the wife's desires, goals, her frustrations, her weaknesses, her strengths. And no matter who you marry, they have both weaknesses and strengths, and you should know them. And you, in ladies, this applies to you as far as it goes. I think the responsibility is on the man. I do believe in a man-centered home in the sense that the man is responsible. And if the man is not responsible, Katie, bar the door in this filthy little country we live in. You find me a family in trouble, I'll find you a place where a man either doesn't exist or he's not a man. He might be a male, you know, an accident of birth. But ladies, these apply to you too. You're going to work together to make this work. It's best, ladies, if I can say this, it's okay, you need to get to know your husband, what he needs, his weaknesses, his strengths, all of these different things. His emotions, her emotions, their spirituality, their physicality, all of those things. I ask you this question, what might help us in ascertaining these concepts? I think it's really simple. One word, listening, which means if you run your mouth all the time, shut up occasionally. See, the sin comes in the marriage when you can't quit talking. Therefore, you never listen to the other person. I say things in here about people, usually positive, and I have you looking at me like I'm from outer space, which means most of you don't know Tom and Christy. That's a little bit of an embarrassment to me. Because if you don't know them, you don't really know other people. Too many of us talk too much. And in marriages, sometimes it's okay to do this. And listen. Listening does wonders. But if you're a person that knows everything and has every opinion, God help you. In your notes, the last concept is giving honor. Giving honor, another word, aponeo, that word is only found one time in the New Testament here. It means to give or to grant or assign or accord what is their due. Men, the command directly is to you. You build a home with your wife. You do so according to knowledge, men, and you always give honor. Specifically, Peter says you're to give honor as unto the weaker vessel. As I've already said, how would you treat, if you had a vase from the Ming Dynasty worth $100,000, you're going to treat that a certain way. As delicate, important, valuable. You give honor what they deserve because of their value. You also do so because as being heirs together of the grace of life. Ladies, it's going to be a little different for you, but I think these principles secondarily apply to you. Building this home together, dwelling together, doing it according to knowledge, getting, ladies, if you're a Frenchie, put the thing on pause. You got things. The fool likes to talk. A wise person likes to listen. It makes you a better spouse. Hello? All right. We'll move on and we'll do it quickly. So there has to be these three concepts. Dwelling, making that home together, doing it according to knowledge, and giving the proper honor and value to the wife, and ladies, I think appropriately, to the husband. Now, there's many different opposites here. I'm not going to go through this list, but I'll just zoom through it. There's the people who are very factual. So that's what you think. Everything is about what you think. Then there are those people who are more intuitive, how I feel. Another way of saying that, there are the very logical people, and then there's the very relational people. There are people who are objective. There are people who are subjective. There are people who are conceptual. I could tell you a person that comes to this church most of the times on Sunday morning never has understood me in all the years this person's been here. The person is too concrete. I'm a conceptual person. You know the difference. A concrete person, I have to literally tell them, please put your left foot next. Little children are this way, Amy, is that right? What grade do we transfer normally to being more conceptual? Third, fourth? Some people never do. They don't understand the thing I say unless I say, put your left foot next. I'm a conceptual person. I just give you the idea. I expect you to go home tonight and think and meditate on this text. Do you know that? Otherwise, you have just wasted 47 minutes or so. Hey, you have just wasted 47 minutes of your life. What's it going to be? We move on. The introvert, I don't know, I heard this in a song. Duncan was singing this, so I'm going to give this to you. There are the people who are introverts. You say goodbye. And extroverts, I say hello. And none of you have a clue what I'm singing, do you? I learned it from Duncan. Some people are organized. Some people are free spirits. Some people are affectionate. And then there are other people. Yes? Now, you say, some people are reserved. Pastor Koch is very affectionate. He hugs everybody. And then there's the people. Did God make us this way? I don't know. We continue. There are those who are revealers and those who are concealers. And I'm not talking about sin. So I say cat and mouse, anyone. There are people who are perfectionist. Then there are people who are non-perfectionist. So should you be done right or should it be done right now? And lastly, I just mentioned this one. Look at me. Would you even know if you're pessimistic? Look at me, I'm asking a question. Would you even know? Would you know, basically, are you a person that when I pick up the glass and I put it up here, I can't say half full, half empty, can I, Ron? What, 9/10 full? But you know, there are people that they'd see the 1/10 that's not there. They just look at life that way. Now, some of that can be sinful. Now, stop and we're done. What does Pastor Warren want you to do? Well, I want you to stay here and enjoy the toilet paper. No, I want you to do three things. Look at me in the eyes and we're done. Number one, you must learn to dwell or build a home together. Number two, it's got to be according to knowledge. You've got to understand, sin being a side of this, you've got to work with the way people are. You say, my spouse talks with his mouth open or her mouth open. Can they change? If it's important enough, if it's important enough. Just as long as you're willing to change some of your weird habits. You know, you're one of those people that you have two washcloths. You take one swipe, the wet one to wipe, the dry one to dry it off, and then you take it. I don't know what to do with a person like that. Hold it. Make a home. Dwell together according to knowledge. Look at me. Giving honor. If we do that, we can get past which side the toilet paper comes out on. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this night.